We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You're listening to CBS Sports Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all live, all the time.
All right, we're back, 9 o'clock straight up in the East Coast. Joe Beningo with you here, and I'll be here for another hour till 10 o'clock when my partner, the great Evan Roberts, will come your way. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. These are challenging times. Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24-7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. And, of course, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4 CBS, sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last you a full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. We're still waiting on Darryl Strawberry to give us a call. So we do. And joining us right now, my all-time favorite Met, number 18. He'll always have a prominent place in my heart as a Met fan. And that, of course, is Darryl Strawberry. Darryl, how are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I hope your family, everybody's safe and everything's going well for you. I'm hoping that.
We are safe. We are safe in St. Louis, and it's been safe for a while here. I know it's been very difficult up in the New York area.
Yep.
And other places that have been very difficult times. But here it's been pretty light. We've been able to move around, and you know, we went out to our first dinner last night in an open restaurant, so that was pretty cool.
Well, so give me a feel of that. You said an open restaurant. Were you outside with this restaurant, Darryl?
No, it was inside. It was inside. It's a couple restaurants that are opening up back in the area. I think things are starting to open up here, and
that's good.
Of course, people are being safe and. But, you know, I think the most important thing is just like the president said, we have to move on. We have to move forward. You know, this is a country that has to move forward. If we sit, it will go under. And it feels like that if we sit too long.
Darryl, I could not agree with you more. I'm with you 100%. I mean, there's, 15% unemployment, like 30 million people out of work. So amen to what you just said. And let's hope that everything opens up sooner than we expect. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
All over the country.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, as soon as we expect. I mean, as soon as possible. I know we want to be, very careful and everything because of what we've been through as a country. But as people, we got to come back together and we got to get moving and we got to get back to helping those, you know, that probably in a deeper struggle now because of what we've been through.
Yeah, no question about it. Again, talking to the great Darryl Strawberry. Now, you know, I've been watching, obviously, with no games, been watching a lot of old games. Last night, SNY actually had the Game 5 of the World Series. The Mets won in 69 against the Orioles, but watched a lot of the old games from 86. And I got to, you know, the entire run, you know, because that's, as a Met fan since the beginning, Darryl, and you know this, we've talked about it, my favorite all-time Met team is the team you were on, 1984 through 1990. I mean, to me, that's the best run the Mets ever had. And watching the World Series in 86, the first thing I got to ask you, I don't know if I ever asked you about this, but I got to ask you now after watching that, game six and seven and all that. When you hit the home run off Nipper in game seven, okay, and you Cadillac it, like I've never seen you Cadillac it like you did around the bases for that home run. Were you doing that because you were mad at Davey for taking you out of the game in game six? Is that why you did that?
Probably so. You know, it didn't have anything to do with Boston. I mean, we were just a team of destiny that year, and we just came back so much. And, yeah, I mean, it was just the icing on the cake, you know, for me with going through it with the manager and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just part of it. You know, I'm a player. I like to play. I don't like coming out of games. And that's just what it was. I was a young player. And, yeah, did I struggle a bit? Of course, everybody struggles, you know, during those periods of times. But, you know, you just hate coming out of the game. Going to lose, I want to be on the field
right.
while we're losing.
Right, right. And then Nipper tried, and then you played them in spring training the next year, and Nipper threw at you, right? Didn't he do that?
Yeah, yeah. He was kind of weak, you know. I didn't want to hurt the guy. He's a little guy, you know. It's like, are you serious, man? I mean, you're going to hit me in the leg. I was like, okay, man. After a World Series game that was a year all over and everything, and you're still holding that over your head. So, I mean, he hit me like in the leg. And I next time up, I hit a bullet right up the middle, almost killed him.
Right, right, right. That's funny. Well, I tell you what, I remember you in the middle of a lot of fights. Nobody wanted to mess with you. I mean, I got to. Remember the time against the Reds when it didn't you go? Remember that brawl with the Reds and you went into the locker room looking for everybody? Remember that? Wasn't it against Cincinnati when you were with the Mets?
Yeah, yeah. It's against Cincinnati. You know, they were coming down, calling over to our clubhouse, and I just said, man, this is crazy. Let me go down here and straighten Dibble out. You know, I mean, that's what baseball is all about. I mean, you don't see that anymore. You know, everybody's whatever, you know. Guy get hit, no one charged the mound anymore. So, I mean, it kind of just changed the game. That's, you know, we wasn't friendly when we played against teams. We didn't like teams.
Right.
And we didn't want they didn't like us. You know, they thought, oh, we were a bunch of arrogant guys. No, we were just confident. When you came to Shea Stadium, man, we was going to just eliminate you, man. We wasn't playing around. That's just the way we were. Like you said, through those years from 84 to 90, those teams that we had, if they would have had a wild card, we would have been in the playoffs every year. How do you go winning 95 games every year and you can't get in the playoffs? You know, teams don't even win 95 games
right.
this year and get in the playoffs. So it was a different time. So we had a great run with those teams, but you had to win the division, Joe. That's just the way it was.
Yeah, no, I'm well aware of it. Believe me, I know that, Darryl. No doubt about it. And when I think of you, there's so many classic home runs. I mean, I could go on and on. The one you hit off the clock in 85 against Ken Daly in St. Louis. The one you hit off the roof in Montreal on opening day in 1988. The one you hit off who was it? Was it Nepper? Yeah, Nepper in Nepper in game three of the NLCS. The one off of Nolan in game five of the NLCS. I mean, the home run in game seven. I mean, there's so many big home runs that I remember you hitting. What's the one that stands out for you more than any of them?
The playoffs against the Astros, you know, against Nepper and Ryan.
Right.
Because you
right.
think about it, we were down. We were down. We were down three runs. They had a three-run homer. You saw how exciting Keith was when he came across the plate. You know, and that's just the energy that we had because we were a team that always came back. You know, it didn't matter who got it done. Let's just get it done. That's the kind of club we had. And that's what baseball is all about. That's what I love about those days playing with all the guys that I played with. It wasn't about, you know, it was about winning. It was about getting it done. And I think a lot of times, you know, players play for numbers and they don't play for team. That's why, you know, most teams are not successful. And I think those years we had some great runs and that home run off of Nolan. Nolan was throwing the shutout.
Yeah.
Had I not homered off of here, I don't even know if we'd have gone to win that game because, you know, he was dealing that game and we had to get a big hit off of him. I got a big hit off of him and we go on to win that game too.
Yeah, and I think that was not only was he shutting you out, I think that's the only hit he gave up was that hit up to that point in time, that home run that you hit. I don't think he gave up another hit in that game to that point, Darryl.
He didn't. Yeah, he didn't. That's what I'm saying. He was dealing. He wasn't giving up nothing, you know, for his age. And he was tough. I think a lot of people don't recognize how great, you know, he really was late in his career, too. I know he was great before, early in his career, but late in his career, he was still tough. He could dominate a game just like that. And in that playoff game, he was. And, you know, I remember Marty Noble coming to me and saying that Nolan said, he asked Nolan, well, what happened in that situation with Strowberg? And he said, Nolan said, his talent beat my talent in that one at bat.
Right, right, right. Talking to the great Darryl Strawberry. All this stuff is memorable stuff. You know, the 85 season, you guys win 98 games. And if I'm not mistaken, I would say sometime in June, you got hurt diving for a ball in the outfield. I think it was against the Phillies at Shea. You dove for a ball in right field. I think you broke your thumb or hurt your thumb, and you missed a bunch of weeks. Am I right about that? 85, I want to say that was it.
Yeah, I missed 6 weeks. I can't remember what year. It might have been. I don't know if it was 85. Yeah, I dove and made a play and tore the ligaments in my thumb.
Right. And I think that cost you guys winning it. You guys won 98 that year, but, you know, maybe you guys would have won it against the Cardinals that year if you didn't miss 6 weeks.
Yeah, I missed 6 weeks. I was out for 6 weeks. They had to, put it back together and everything. And it was tough coming back because I had to wear this, like, thumb protector on there. But I had to play. I had to get back out there. I just couldn't sit any longer. And I got back out there and I played. And, you know, it wasn't a great year, you know, I think after being hurt, because when you get hurt, it's hard to to bounce back and get into the flow because the season's already gone. So, I mean, yeah, we were still right there with the Cardinals. We had to beat them three straight in St. Louis.
Yep.
We won the first one, and then we lost the next day, and they clinched. And, you know, they were tough. You know, the Cardinals was tough. They always gave us those fits, you know, with Pendleton hitting that home run against Roger McDowell, straightaway center. Pendleton ain't never hit a home run straightaway center at Shea, but he did, and that broke our back, too.
Yeah. Nothing was tougher, though, than losing to the Dodgers, Darryl. I got to tell you, you know, I still – the Mike Socia game, and you hit a big home run in that game, too. Nothing – losing to the Dodgers in 88 was – at me as a Met fan, I go back to 62. You know what kind of Met fan I am. To me, that's the toughest loss I ever had to deal with in the history of the franchise. You guys losing that series to the Dodgers in 88.
Yeah. You're right about that, Joe. I mean, it just ripped my heart out when we lost that series in L.A., and I was – I sat on that bench and I just cried so hard because I couldn't believe we were so good in 88.
Yep.
I mean, were we better than 86? Maybe so talented wise, but I think we didn't have the biggest heart as the 86 ball club. That was the biggest difference of the 86 ball club from the 88. We always knew we could come back and win, and you know we shouldn't have never lost that series against the Dodgers. But you know the Dodgers got hot and they went on and they swept Oakland. It was supposed to be us in Oakland and. I mean, they go out and they sweep Oakland in the World Series. So it just shows you how things can go. But our 88 team was a phenomenal team. And I just thought, you know, to myself, you know, in Game 7, I still was thinking that Sid should have been on the mound starting that game, Game 7. That was just my thinking.
You thought Sid should have started Game 7 against the Dodgers. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I just believe that he was one of those kind of pitchers that, you know, he just didn't have to think a lot, you know. And
right,
just go out
right.
And pitch. That's the way Sid was, you know. And you know, not personal. Ronnie started that game, but I don't just think that was too big of a game for him.
Yeah, yeah. And Sid pitched great. Remember, he came out, as you know, came out of the bullpen in Game 7 in 86 against the Red Sox and was a huge part of winning that Game 7 in 86.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. El Cid was good in situations, you know, and when you just gave him the ball, you know, I mean, he just didn't really he didn't think a lot, you know, in a lot of situations. He just didn't. I think he didn't really realize how good he was, you know. But we all knew how good he was, you know, when he pitched in big games. And I don't think he just was jitter about big games.
Yeah, right. Again, talking to Darryl Strawberry, you know, I always felt one of the things that really hurt the team, and I got to get your feeling on this all these years later, was the Kevin McReynolds trade. Because he was still a good player for you guys. He was a productive player, but you traded, you know, Kevin Mitchell away, who was, you know, part of that that core of the 86 team. And he just – I never thought McReynolds kind of fit in with the kind of team that you guys were. How about that, Darryl?
Well, I think K-Mac fit. He fitted in, but I just think New York wasn't for him. You know, he's just a quiet guy. You know, he didn't want to have a lot to do with the press. You know, he just come and play, and you know, if he did well, okay, he did well. He didn't talk about it a lot. If he didn't do well, okay, he didn't talk about it a lot. I mean, he's the first one. I mean, just to get there, you know, enough time to play, and then when the game is over, he gets out of there. You know, I just think it was just a different place. For K-Mac, you know, but he was a great guy, you know, that's the thing about it, you know, he was great around the players and, you know, the friendship of the players were real with him. And but just him playing in that type of atmosphere, it's different for so many people, you know, that are not really comfortable about big crowds and attention like playing in New York. Because in those years, we had big crowds every night.
Sure.
It wasn't like the stadium is now, you know, where you can just go in and get in the game, or the stadium's empty, you know, a lot of times. Our games were never like that. Our games always had big crowds. We drew big crowds every night because we were exciting and people came to see us play.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, of course, you guys won consistently as well. How's your relationship with Doc these days? You talk to Doc at all now or no?
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, I'm great. You know, I will always be a friend. I will always be a friend to try to help a friend. I don't care what anybody has to say. You know, they can criticize me, but, you know, at the end of the day, when somebody's struggling and you've been down that road and you want to try to be able to reach out and help them, I always do that. People always, you know, have their little bits to say. Well, you know, that's the problem with most celebrities when they struggle and have problems. You know, nobody ever say anything, and then they end up, you know, if you're using drugs, they end up ODing and dying. And that was my worry, you know, because it's happened to so many celebrities. Look at Prince and Whitney Houston, all these people.
Yep,
and you go down a list of people that didn't have to, you know, go down that way. If somebody would have said, look, you're struggling, you got a problem, and you need help. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I think our society is broken to be able to share the importance of when somebody's struggling and going through. I just didn't want to see a tragedy over his life. That's all.
Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%. I mean, you know, I love Doc. I mean, you know, like I said, those teams to me are very near and dear to my heart. And there was nothing, Darryl, the electricity at Shea Stadium when Doc would pitch, especially in that 85 season, was unbelievable. I mean, the buzz when Doc would pitch in those days was unreal. Really was.
It was, you know, and most people try to, you know, compare these other guys, you know, to who Doc was, you know, the picture, the guys that come from the Mets, you know, over the last couple of years. And they're good, but they was not Doc Gooden, you know, when he was at his prime. Like you said, there was nothing like seeing him in an 85 season. It was boring playing in the outfield because nobody really ever got a lot of hits off of me, you know. And
right.
it was just a trip, you know, to see a guy that can be so young and be so poised on the mound in the major leagues and just dialing up and laying down great hitters one after the next. You know, it was just incredible to see that. I mean, his night of pitching, the crowds were just insane. It was like getting a ticket to watch number 16. They was coming to watch the team, but they was coming to watch Doc Gooden, Dr. K on the mound, because they knew it was going to be an exciting time and how many he's going to punch out that night. And I remember the guy up in the corner down there with the K corner. He had his little special corner up there.
Yep,
he was
no
incredible.
Doubt.
Doc get two strikes on people. He get to running with the K, and boom. And, you know, it was something else to see, Joe. And like you said, they'll never see anything like that again, like they saw with Doc Gooden on the mound in those years.
Yeah, no, it was really incredible. There's no doubt about it. Now, a couple other things I gotta hit you with. I'll never forget. And I had no love for Frank Cashin, because Frank Cashin, even though he built the championship team, he destroyed that team as well. And I'll never forget the night when he said that you were not a $5 million a year ball player. I'll never forget that, how ticked off I was. Your thoughts on that, and then when you left to go to the Dodgers, which is one of the, my heart broke. I mean, it's one of the toughest things I ever to deal with when you walked to go to play for the Dodgers. But how about that whole deal with Cashin not saying you weren't worth $5 million, you know, big money at the time? How about all of that, Darryl?
Well, that was, you know, he had his rights to say that, you know, and you know he kept saying that during the course of that. That season, that 90 season, and I just lit it up. I just, you know, showed them what kind of player that, you know, I was. You know, I wanted to stay in New York, and they figured, well, no, well, we'll just go another direction, and we'll bring somebody else in. And whoever they brought in could never fill the spot for me, you know, because it was empty, you know, and a lot of guys knew that, and a lot of guys I played with, you know, hated to see me leave, and I hated to leave too, but they didn't really give me a choice, you know. It was in my walk year. you never let a player get to us, walk here and tell him, you know, he's not this. And that's what, you know, those were the comments that were coming out of the front office and everything. And I said, well, I'm just going to play and I'm just going to have fun. And we'll see at the end of the year once the free agent market open up. So, you know, and that's what happened. And I ended up leaving. Was it a bad decision for me? Yes. I mean, I knew I wanted to be in New York, and I wish I could have stayed in New York and played. But, you know, things happen. You know, they want to go in a different direction, and they want to bring some other players in that they thought were better, that would be better for the team. And they found out they really wasn't. You know, if I stayed there, you know, I think we could have kept going in a great direction, because, you know, I was just in my peak, you know, playing, there. Because I left to go to L.A., and then when I got to L.A., it was just different, you know. It wasn't New York. You know, I was so used to New York. I played 8 years in New York. So I was crazy about New York fans, because they boo you and let you know when you suck. And you go to L.A., they come late and they leave early. You know, it's a different atmosphere of playing baseball from Shea Stadium to Dodger Stadium. And I didn't realize that. I realized that going there and being a visitor playing there, but I didn't realize going there and playing there how different it was with the crowds and everything. And no disrespect from them, you know, it's my hometown, but they wasn't what I was used to playing in New York City.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that one of the worst decisions the Mets ever made. Mets have made a lot of bad moves over the years, Darryl. One of the worst they ever did. Maybe second only to the Tom Seaver trade. Was you being allowed to walk at the end of that 1990 season. That was a brutal decision, and it set the franchise back for, you know, pretty close to 10 years. I mean, it really pretty much did.
The franchise, I mean, I think a lot of people don't give the credit of the years of the 80s, because you haven't seen that over there since the time that we came from Davey Johnson in 1984, you know, Hernandez. Coming in 83, Carter coming over, Ray Knight. I mean, just a mixture of players, you know, that we had, and the group of guys we had. We had some crazy guys, yes, Joe. But you know what? They showed up to play. Wally, Lenny,
no doubt.
Myself, you know, all of us. I mean, we played. Mookie, you know, we played as a group, man. We had so much fun winning. I think a lot of people don't understand how good we really were every year. And it was just heartbreak years that couldn't get us in, because when you go back and look at the numbers and the wins that we had, we would lose the division by, what, one or two games at
no
the
doubt.
You know, something like that. You know, it wasn't like we were like 10 right there. So, and we had they had, like I said, the wild card like it is now, we would have been in there, and there would have been more opportunities for us to win again.
Yeah, no doubt. And then, of course, again, talking to the great Darryl Strawberry, and then you came back for those years with the Yankees, and you had success there too. You know, I mean, you know, you got a couple championships with the Yankees, 96, 98. You hit your you had your second three home run game. I was actually at that game against the White Sox. I think it was an afternoon game because you hit three home runs in Chicago against the Cubs with the Mets at Wrigley, and then you hit three home runs against the White Sox at Yankee Stadium. How about that, Darryl?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great plan for the Yankees. You know, the boss was really like a father, you know, over my life and over a lot of people's lives. You know, he really cared about people, and that's what I love about George more than anything. You know, they can say what they want to say about him and the kind of owner he was. He wanted to win. But his love for people was great, was so much greater than anything that people ever understood. I think people never got to know that. And it wasn't just about me. I mean, just seeing him in Tampa and the work he did with the Boys and Girls Club and how he supported them, and, you know, just the love for kids and people was incredible. And, you know, and I think that's what ownership is supposed to be about. You know, you're supposed to love and care for people no matter what kind of problems they have. You know, everybody has problems. I think people kind of look around like they don't have problems, Joe. But, you know, George didn't look that way. He never turned the other way with people. And he brought me over to the Yankees, man, and I had some fun playing with the Yankees, man. There were some great guys over there. Got to play with, you know, great guys like Jeep, Moe, Bernie, Tino O'Neill. I mean, just all kind of, you know, great things happened, came out of, you know, playing with those guys. And I had a lot of fun being able to play for Joe Torre and being able to win over there with the Yankees.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Darryl, I really appreciate it, man. It is always great catching up with you. I could do hours and hours of an interview with you. And I'll say it again. as a Met fan since 1962. You're my all-time favorite Met. I make no bones about that. I got a couple stellar in my basement, which is like a museum. You are well represented. You are well represented down there in my basement. I can tell you that right now. And I want to thank you again as a Met fan for all the great moments you gave me as a Met fan when you were with the Mets. So I want to thank you again for that.
Well, Joe, I really appreciate that, and I really appreciate it. I'm forever grateful for Mets fans, and they need to know that my relationship was never about the fans. They've always been great, and I'm thankful for having the opportunity to play at Shea Stadium all those years.
Darryl, thank you so much. Be well. God bless you. Stay healthy, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
All right, Joe. You too. Bless you, man.
All right, man. The great Darryl Strawberry. All right, Joe Beningo with you here on a Saturday morning. We're here till 10 o'clock. My partner, of course, the great Evan Roberts, will come your way, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS, CBS Sports Radio nationally, WFAN in New York. We'll break here, come back with more of your phone calls after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.